AJ Styles pulls out his inner Eddie Guerrero, Sasha Banks continues to roll, and a major upset in the King of the Ring tournament. Your Raw review starts right after this. Hey, so you guys love podcasts. You're listening to one right now. I've got a really good one for you. It's actually hilarious. It's called Shoot from the Hip. There are three co-hosts. It's Matt, Lancer, and Brian. They talk about ridiculous things like why knees aren't just called leg knuckles, some conspiracy theories, dealing with embarrassment, back to school. There are so many different topics that really are just crazy, but are really entertaining. And actually, they have 5 stars right now on Apple Podcasts. So I would really recommend that you check them out. They're absurd but hilarious topics. And new episodes drop every single week at sfthpodcast.com. And you can kind of tell, this is going to be one of those shows that shoots quickly up the rankings. So get on board now. Check out Shoot from the Hip Podcast. You can find them seriously anywhere, right? Like, just go to iHeartRadio, Google Music, Stitcher, SoundCloud. They're also on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and their website, which is sfthpodcast.com. And on Twitter, you can check them out at hipshotpodcast.com. Also on YouTube at Shoot from the Hip Podcast. So check them out today, guys. I really think that you'll enjoy the show and get a kick out of it. I listened to one of their shows just before this recording of my podcast, and I'm telling you right now, I was laughing out loud. Some of the stuff that they talk about is, it's so off the wall, but it's so well done and genuinely funny. So check out Shoot from the Hip Podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Welcome to the show. This is the WWE Podcast on this Tuesday, August 27th, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. Today, it's all about Monday Night Raw. And you heard, if you heard in the very beginning of the show, I've got a few topics that I absolutely want to cover with Sasha Banks, who continues to roll, but at the same time did some damage to the tag team titles that WWE tried to work all these months to put some value in. And so I'll get to that. And I'll also get to the absence of Becky Lynch, the absence of The Fiend, which I think are good things, very good things. I like it. And so I'm going to get to that too. And of course, Braun Strowman almost becoming a double champion with Seth Rollins as they try to carry all the gold in the land and heading towards a Clash of Champions title defense, their tag team title defense, and Braun Strowman very predictably going after Seth Rollins' Universal Championship, which I think is a little too early to do, but I guess that they know better than me. So I'll get to my thoughts on that shortly. But first, I just want to take the time to thank you guys for taking the time out of your day or night or morning or evening to listen to this show. It's a pleasure to be able to talk to you guys about professional wrestling. And I know that you feel the same way if you're listening to a wrestling podcast. I would say, to be totally honest, that if you are listening to wrestling podcasts, you are probably more than just the casual fan. You have ascended to a new level of passion. I don't think that the casual fan listens to WWE podcasts or wrestling podcasts. I really believe that. So I do want to make a quick shout out to the newest patron of my feed on patreon.com/WWE podcast. He is Matt McKay, and I want to thank you for being the latest patron of the show. I hope you enjoy your ad-free listening experience. I know that I do the same thing for wrestling podcasts that I just listen. There are some that are filled and filled and filled to the brim with ads. And I know why they do it. I mean, we're all trying to make a living and monetize our show. But sometimes it's just overwhelming. And so there's always ad-free experiences. I mean, so if you don't become a patron of this show, I would really recommend and encourage you to check out other wrestling podcasts and support the industry. Support the podcasters out there who put out this podcast feed for you for free. And offer you the upgrade to have an ad-free experience. So I definitely would encourage you to do that. But if you'd like to check out my feed, you can get a completely ad-free show every single time at patreon.com/WWE podcast. You can also hit up the website while you're at it too, WWEpodcast.com. More content coming there soon. A lot happening, guys. So much happening. And yes, on WWE. Yes, AEW. Yes, NXT. And I made the announcement last week that we have new members coming on to the team here doing NXT and covering AEW. And tomorrow, typically a solo SmackDown Live review show, I will be joined by none other than the newest host, solo host, for the AEW podcast, and Zach Perez, who will be doing the AEW podcast weekly, starting when the weekly shows start. He'll be doing shows that will cover the pay-per-view, but when the actual weekly shows start on Wednesday, he will be doing a show solo and covering AEW as we head into a very, very busy fall for wrestling fans, with AEW going weekly, NXT going head-to-head with AEW, getting a couple of weeks advantage into the market, testing to see how viewership is on Wednesday nights, right? Going head-to-head with AEW. And as much as they say that AEW is in competition, I do not believe that it is coincidence that NXT is extending themselves for another hour and putting themselves on a major network in the same time slot as AEW in their weekly programming. It's very, very, very coincidental and nearly impossible to believe that that was just a coincidence. And if it's, I mean, if it's not, and it's not, you can't tell me that WWE does not view AEW as competition if they're putting themselves in the same exact time slot as their competition. That's what they are by definition. As small as you may think they may be, they are competition in the marketplace. I mean, by definition, in business 101, if you took any course, you know what competition is. Anybody in your line of work who directly compete with your customer base, they are by definition your competition. Now, how much of a threat are they? Time will tell. And it's going to need years and years and years for time to tell us exactly what that level of threat is to WWE, and not to put them out of business. That's not the question. But to maybe chip away at their ratings or pull in new viewers or whatever it may be. You know, there are measurables that we can look at, but that's not for years down the road. So I'm excited, though, guys. This fall is going to be nuts. This fall is going to be crazy in terms of wrestling content. So tomorrow I'm very excited to bring on the co-host. I'll give you guys an introduction to him. You can get a listen for his voice, and I think you'll enjoy him. And then I'll be also seeing if I can get the co-host for the NXT podcast, who's actually been on this show before, James Ludeman. So that's kind of the plan here. I think this show is expanding, and I'm excited for it. Very grateful for those who are coming on board, and so it's going to be an exciting fall. So stay tuned right here for all of your wrestling needs. That's straightforward. I really believe that this show is, for the most part, easy to listen to. Am I perfect? No, I have flaws, and I understand that. Absolutely, I have flaws, and I try to work on them every single time I press that record button, and I'm aware of things that I need to work on. But at the same time, I really believe that we are a show that is straight to the point. It's easy to listen to. We don't talk about things that most of our audience doesn't care about. And that doesn't mean always the main event of every show. But that doesn't also mean, you know, talking in depth about one single issue that has no bearing on the actual, you know, actual storylines. Things that are just so minuscule that fans would, you know, potentially, or listeners potentially, just click the skip or next, or go to the next podcast, or choose a totally new show, right? I mean, I really believe we try to do that. I believe that we try to make this easy and straightforward, and we have no ties to anyone in WWE in any official capacity. This is just an independent show. So by that token, and really to our benefit, we have no dog in the fight, or as Jim Ross would say, we have no dog in the hunt in this. We can lay it all on the line with no fear of kickback, repercussions, or anything of the like. I mean, that's what I think this show is, and we tell it like it is. We really do. I really think that every co-host that I have that comes on with me on Thursdays, is very straightforward, and the people that we're going to be bringing on to do their own solo shows, I will not be a part of either one of those, by the way. I know some people have asked, am I going to be on the NXT or AEW podcast? The answer is no. That doesn't mean I won't ever, but those shows are for the new co-hosts, or the new hosts. They're not even co-hosts. They are just hosts of the show to run it as they see fit. They are being given full freedom, full reign to record their show as they see fit. And I think that's the best way to do it, because I'm not putting any restrictions, limitations. You got to talk about this or this or this. You guys talk about whatever you want to talk about, and as honestly as you possibly can. So I want it to be that way. I think that's the identity of this show, is it's real. It doesn't feel overly produced. And I have this tagline as my show is, this is a podcast by a fan for fans. It's not produced, in front of a live studio audience at Stamford, Connecticut. I mean, this is not state-run radio. This is as honest and brutally honest as I can be about this. And that's what I love, because this is what we're all passionate about. And that's why you're listening to the show. So, all right, let's dive into Monday Night Raw. Let's get into it. I think Raw was a solid show overall. Did it blow me away? No. Was it a Raw that took a step or two back? I would actually say no. I would say this was a Raw that just continued to move ahead in a solid fashion. It progressed storylines. It didn't overexpose talent, which the show is just religiously guilty of. It held back some of its biggest stars. And while the in-person attendee may be pissed off about that, it makes the person's appearance that much more special and meaningful when they do come around. Who I'm talking about are two individuals, Becky Lynch and The Fiend. While Becky Lynch was in a package and video package, and so was The Fiend, to just keep them fresh in our minds, they weren't live. I love that. I love the fact that you don't have somebody there every single week. It gives the fans a chance to breathe and go, oh man, where are they? So when they do come back, you're saying, oh, well, I don't know if they're going to be here next week, so I need to enjoy what they're doing and pay attention. When you look at the old territory days, the NWA champion who would just float between territories was not there every week to defend the championship. Defending the championship was a rarity. It was a special event. So when we have stars every single week, on camera every single week, man, you just take for granted they're going to be there. And so when The Fiend's not there, Becky Lynch isn't there, it feels so important. The Fiend not being there, I loved. I loved it. Because it feels like it matters when he's there. And he's not just there to be there to make sure that he's live, because people expect him to be live every week. It feels like he has purpose when he's there. Again, it's not just to be there. It's because he has a purpose, and he has a goal. He has a reason for being there. And that's right now attacking Legends. And I'm fine with that too, because I believe it's going to end with The Undertaker. So I was a fan of that. Was I disappointed? Part of me, yes. I love The Fiend. Most people love The Fiend. And it just feels cool when he's there. But I think the longer-term goal here is to make The Fiend feel like a massive special attraction, because they know they have something hot right now. It doesn't mean you have to play that hot hand every single week, because it gets watered down. So whoever chose this, if it's Paul Heyman himself or somebody in creative, and it got filtered through Paul and filtered through Vince, whatever, great decision. Great decision to keep The Fiend off of TV in a live capacity. Big deal there. So that was good. Also, I want to talk about Sasha Banks and her promo to open up Monday Night Raw. Actually, why don't we just take a little bit of a listen, and then I'll give you guys my reaction.
Sasha Banks. How Sasha Banks threw a fit. I did. How Sasha Banks was seen crying at WrestleMania at the locker room floor. I did. how Sasha Banks took her ball and she went home. Yeah, damn right, I did. And not for reasons that you may think. You see, I was relegated to a WrestleMania tag team match that I cared absolutely nothing about. Defending tag team titles that meant even less. Well, Becky Lynch got to main event WrestleMania against Ronda Rousey.
So I'm going to stop right there. I just want to like chime in here. So overall, I like this so far. I mean, the promo was real, because how many times did we hear the stories about Sasha Banks through all the news sites that she was throwing a fit and she was crying backstage, acting like a child with Bayley, that they were told that they were going to keep the WWE women's tag team belts for longer than they did, and they had to drop them at WrestleMania. And so I like that she addressed right up front all of the things that people were talking about while she was gone. Good stuff. I mean, you didn't really break the fourth wall, right? You still kind of, you acknowledged the fact that people were talking about you while you were gone, and you talked about the things they were talking about without going into the fact that, hey, this is a work, right? You didn't go into the whole deal of why you threw a fit. You don't go there. You just say that I threw a fit, and yes, I did. Good. They stopped right at the line, right where they should have. Her new attitude and her new cadence for speaking feels so much more natural. She feels so much more at home with what she's doing now than what she ever has in the past. It's like the real Sasha is back. As Corey Graves alluded to, this feels more like Sasha and not just her playing somebody she's not. I truly believe that. I truly believe that she is much more comfortable in this just more relaxed but nasty heel role than she ever was trying to placate to something that she's not and pander to fans that she didn't feel was, you know, were really fans of the person that she felt like she really was, and they were just cheering for somebody that she was playing. So this is a good Sasha. I will say, though, this one piece that I did not like or that I cringed a bit at was the fact that she said that she was in a tag team championship match for a match she didn't care about and belts she cared even less about. When is the last time that you guys heard anybody disparaging any championship in WWE? You just don't do it, or you don't hear it anyway. I just shouldn't say you shouldn't do it. I would just be very careful of how and when and why you do it, because the championships are why people are there. That's why the guys and gals are there. We are supposed to and meant to believe that they are there to be champions, whether it's the Cruiserweight, NXT, Tag Team, Universal, WWE, US, United States, Intercontinental. Championships are what matters and are what people are there for, not just to work out personal issues, which absolutely can be part of matches, and a lot of the matches on pay-per-views are because of personal issues, and that's fine. But championships need to be there in a simulated sport. You need to be chasing something other than just pride. So for her to put down the women's tag team belts, a movement that WWE kind of started themselves, while people talked about it, it wasn't a grassroots movement. It's this like upswelling of people who said, oh my god, how good, cool would that be for women's tag team belts? They got everything else. They did Hell in a Cell. They have a women's champion on both shows. They've done first Hell in a Cell, first Money in the Bank, first Royal Rumble, first pay-per-view, but they don't have tag team champions. I mean, it's been mentioned in passing, but WWE, with all of their plants in the crowd, with the We Want Women's Tag Belt signs that were there every week in the same spot for a perfect camera angle, I mean, it's WWE, it's just amazing what they're doing, you know, with the women's tag team belts, which is next to nothing. At the same time, though, as much as I'm a little bit hesitant to applaud this part of the promo, it's real. Because I believe that Bayley and Sasha didn't really care so much about those belts and wanted to be in the main event of WrestleMania. That I truly believe. What woman wouldn't? I mean, that's not a promo. That's real for every single woman in WWE that wasn't in that triple threat. And Sasha forgot to mention Charlotte was in the match, but that's fine because in my brain it should have just been Ronda and Becky anyway, so yay. But again, I like this and the fact that you could have the women's tag team champions just come back out and say, hey, you know, all those comments that Sasha made, that's what those belts meant to her. These belts mean everything to us. I mean, you could put some value back in those belts pretty quickly by having the champions talk about what it means to be the women's tag team champions. It's not hard to add value back. It's very rare that we see WWE take a shot at their own championships, particularly one that they tried to fake a movement with, which is quite interesting. So let's continue on in this promo, and then I'll give you more of my thoughts.
Vacations with my WrestleMania paycheck, which a paycheck that Becky Lynch got way more money than I did for main eventing WrestleMania. And I came back to work, but I had a plan. You see, I had to be a perfect moment, and there she was, good old Natalia. My poor, innocent, one-armed friend. You see, I came out here 2 weeks ago, gave her a big old hug, and I lied straight to her face, and I said, your daddy would be so proud of you.
So that was also pretty good stuff here. Again, when you listen to Sasha, just listen to her. She seems so comfortable. This is Sasha Banks that I don't cringe at. I love this version of Sasha. The blue hair, yes, it actually is much better than the pink, I believe. Yes, it's symbolic of a character change, but even if it wasn't a character change, she needed a refresh, and boy, she got it here. I loved the fact that she talked about how Becky Lynch got paid more than her, which is absolutely true. Nothing she's saying you can dispute. Nothing so far. Nothing. Which also makes it difficult to boo her. That's one aspect here that I don't hear a lot of people talking about. Sasha is killing it right now, but I don't think the crowd reaction is representative of that. She's not getting the over monstrous pop or a lot of heel heat either. Like, you hear the kind of occasional boos, and you hear the some people still cheering. I think a lot of this has to do with, number one, people were waiting for Sasha Banks to come back. They were anticipating. They wanted to see her back. They got her back, and then she did the heel turn. And then you heard some people cheering, and I was concerned that it would be the Becky Lynch heel turn that turned into a babyface turn, ultimately, because the fans rejected it and sympathized with Becky Lynch being mistreated and misbooked for years. But that didn't happen. People don't seem to be in that camp when it comes to Sasha's turn. Maybe they're just not quite ready, and they just have some more work to do. You know, I'm thinking that while it would have been great to have the instant heel heat and the instant boos and the instant people wanting to see Sasha get her ass kicked, Sasha right now is speaking truth. And sometimes the instant turn doesn't always work. It sometimes takes time, and that's fine too. I'm absolutely want to continue on the Sasha heel turn. I do not want them to turn her babyface. Even if she starts to get a little bit of a babyface pop, they need to continue down this road. And maybe part of it is to change her music. Her music, look, I like it. I know that Sasha's into Japanese pop or something, and that was inspired by that, but I like her song, and her song's likable. It's kind of like booing Sami Zayn during his entrance. It's hard to do because his entrance music is just so great. Or Shinsuke Nakamura, although he modified his, it's still at the core, it's same song. It's just hard to boo these guys and gals when they have such likable music. I'm not saying trash that music forever. You can bring it back when you turn face again. But that kind of stuff makes a difference. When something in terms of their music is so likable, music is such an integral part of everyone's lives, and it's such a Pavlovian reaction when you hear certain music that sometimes, regardless of their heel or face, it can change how you view that person because their music is still the same, and your brain says, "Ooh, I like this kind of music," and you know, it's just a correlation that's hard to disconnect from your brain. And I mean, I think back to even when Stone Cold turned heel, he modified his music a little bit. If Sasha does it too, I mean, I'll accept even Shinsuke's. because it's not the same. And I think that that is part of the success of a true heel turn. So maybe we'll get that. But right now, my point is that the reaction for Sasha is not overly negative. It's not overly positive. It's just overly neutral, because I think it's fans are conflicted. Sasha's also a good-looking woman. She looks like she's a nice, kind, fun person. And it's hard to dislike someone like that. And while she's got nasty traits and she attacked Natalia, right now, Sasha just doesn't have the heel heat that I think she should have and probably she feels like she deserves. But I would just say continue to plug away. Continue to make her nasty. Continue to make her evil. Do things that are just get under the skin of fans. And I think that this will turn around. They just have to stay the course. But I'm just surprised at the really lack of reaction. I don't think it's because fans don't care and they're just disinterested. I just think they're conflicted in what to do. And it's a very interesting position that Sasha's in right now. All right. And I'm going to get to the King of the Ring tournament and the massive, massive upset in my eyes and many between the Ricochet and Drew McIntyre match that I am just flabbergasted by and continue to shake my head. I'm shaking my head. You guys can't see it, but I am, believe me. I am shaking my head right now at the fact that Drew McIntyre lost to Ricochet, and I'm going to get to that in just a moment with some very, very passionate thoughts. But first, I just want to talk to you guys about fantasy football season, because it's back. It's back, and it's back in a big way. Again, you guys know I just had my fantasy football draft. I got some pretty decent picks. I got Tyreek Hill from Kansas City. I actually picked up Tom Brady. I picked up Ben Roethlisberger. So I'm feeling pretty good about my team this year. And you guys also know Antonio Brown's not a Raider. Le'Veon Bell is with the Jets, and Odell Beckham is in Cleveland. But the one thing that hasn't changed is where I'm putting my money down in all the games. It's MyBookie. MyBookie is the best place to bet on football every weekend. Yeah, we all know there's other places out there, but this is the best one. I am using MyBookie. It has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sportsbook, period. You can wager on college football to odds on the presidential election. MyBookie, it really does have something fun for everybody. And this year, MyBookie is hosting the first ever online handicapping super contest. So what's going to happen is first place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it only costs $100 to enter. So pretty big bang for your buck there. And all you have to do is pick five NFL games against the spread every single week to climb the leaderboard. Excuse me. And your score will be shared with a huge cash prize pool. So there is a huge, huge contest going on there. What I would really recommend, guys, is only things and services that I use and that I believe in. And this is one. Right now, I would recommend you check out MyBookie. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's proven, okay? That's why MyBookie is the right place to play. It's always the right play. You bet. You win and they pay. It's seriously that simple. MyBookie has live in-game betting on every single NFL game, and they've got the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, that's me, you can even bet on the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score on each game. Tell me another place that you can do that. I don't think you can. So here's what's good for you. Here is what you guys should do and why you need to check out MyBookie and the little bonus I've got for you that's exclusive to this show. So you can get up to $1,000 first deposit bonus. You can double your first deposit. All you have to do, super simple, is use the promo code WWE to activate the offer. So just visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code WWE. That's WWE in the promo code when you create your account to claim the bonus. That's how you do it. It's the only way to do it. So it's pretty simple, guys. It's three things. You bet, you win, and you get paid. It is really that simple. So check out MyBookie. But all right, guys. Well, back to what I want to talk about here with that massive, massive upset, right? With Ricochet defeating Drew McIntyre, a guy that I thought was going to win, that many thought was the favorite in this tournament, and he got eliminated in the first round. I just, and listen, the quality of the match, not the problem. The athleticism of the match, not the problem. None of that's the problem. The problem is Drew McIntyre is being treated like just another guy right now. Drew McIntyre is being treated, he's getting the Samoa Joe treatment right now of he's just kind of another guy. He'll go on an occasional hot streak and then take four steps back. It's just mind-numbingly frustrating because Drew McIntyre would be an amazing, amazing King of the Ring. And maybe they have bigger plans for him, but I don't see how or when or how or where, right? I mean, where is Drew McIntyre going? He's floating in the ether, just kind of out there. He aligned himself with Shane McMahon for, you know, a cup of coffee and then disbanded that. And you know, he's just kind of in and out of random little clicks and then by himself. Always, always cuts a great promo. One of the best in the business for his believability. The thing is, when you put Ricochet's and McIntyre's promos back to back, and look, I love that they are actually putting in these promos before the matches. That is what is called creating emotional investment and telling the fans why they should care about who wins and loses this. A plus on that effort. They did this for everybody and I loved it. But the difference between Drew McIntyre and Ricochet here in their promos, Ricochet's cutting a promo. Drew McIntyre is telling you how he feels. The difference there is authentic versus written. Authentic versus memorized. And while Ricochet is super popular for his crazy athletic moves and everything he does in the ring that we all love to watch him do, right? We all love to watch Drew McIntyre or Ricochet do 730 flips. We love it. Ricochet, I've said this before, I will say it again. Ricochet feels like a stuntman. Drew McIntyre feels like a professional wrestler. You hear the difference there? The difference is easy to identify. And no question, Ricochet is a good-looking dude. He's a good-looking dude who can do things that only the majority of us can dream about. And yes, he looks good on camera. He's very vanilla on promo. He can cut a promo that's memorized, and that's great. But he doesn't have the believability or that gut-level feeling that I get with Drew McIntyre. And so that's the difference. Ricochet is a stuntman, whereas Drew McIntyre is a true professional wrestler. He is very polished. He is very well-rounded in what he can do in the ring and what he can cut on a promo that truly isn't a promo because I believe what he's saying. And anyway, so the match itself, none of this is the problem. Even Ricochet's super vanilla, it's such a WWE promo, isn't it? It's just too polished to be real. That's the problem, I think, with the majority of the product today, although it's getting much better and has gotten a lot better because they're focusing on wrestling and it makes the hours go by much faster. Everything just feels too perfect, too well-timed. Everything's so nice and polished to the point that it's like, that no way, if this is supposed to be a simulation of real sports in real life, that anybody here would believe that everything is just timed perfectly, that when a match ends, somebody's walking around the corner at the perfect time and WWE goes to the exact right camera while someone is coming through. I mean, it's just, everything is just too perfectly timed and the promos are too well scripted and everybody's got to have that zing line. That's what takes me out of the moment as a whole. That is foundationally what is the problem in today's product. It doesn't feel raw, pun intended. It doesn't feel like it's something just happening and cameras happen to be there. It feels just so, everything feels so contrived and everybody's got a perfect promo to cut and a perfect zing line to say before they walk off. It just doesn't feel real overall. But you put all that aside, the match isn't the problem with this that I had. None of it. The problem I have is they are just throwing Drew McIntyre into the abyss. What are they doing? I know that Samoa Joe and Ricochet have a history, and maybe that's why they did it. But I would have loved to have seen Drew McIntyre and Samoa Joe go at it. I don't care if they're two heels. I don't care. Why can't a heel versus heel match happen? Why?
Oh, well, nobody's going to care about that.
How do you know? How do you know? When's the last time a heel versus heel match happened? Maybe you get a big star out of it. Because fans, while they'll know there's two heels, they will put themselves in this match because they are watching what they love to watch, and that's pro wrestling. So the fans will pick a side, or maybe they duel. But passion would be integrated into the match with having the heels put on a hell of a show. Would it turn them babyface? No, because you could do things in the match that both of them are trying to cheat to win. It could be extremely entertaining. One could do a low blow, the other one gets foot on the ropes, another one distracts the referee, another one gives a foreign object. There's ways to get heat on both. It would be extremely entertaining. So when I saw Samoa Joe and the winner of the Ricochet-Drew McIntyre match would meet him, I said, well, WWE loves to go heel babyface. It's just the rule of the land with everything they do. So it's got to be Ricochet. And while, you know, Drew McIntyre to me would have been an amazing King of the Ring, I'm just going to stay optimistic and say that, well, maybe they just have something bigger in mind for him. Maybe that's exactly what it is, and I'm just missing the boat here, and maybe I'll be shocked next week. But Drew McIntyre has champion written all over him. He has top heel written all over him. He has King of the Ring written all over him. And they just continue to have him lose and lose and lose and lose. Roman Reigns, oh, well, lose. WrestleMania, lose. I mean, it's very frustrating when you see a talent this polished, this well-rounded, and this much potential in his prime and is being just for whatever reason, kind of pushed aside for the exciting Ricochet, who's the up-and-comer. No. No. I don't care about that. I want real characters that make me feel something. And Ricochet just makes me go, all right, well, can he top 7 flips tonight? Can he top 8? There's no selling on Ricochet's part. None. Tell me the last time Ricochet sold anything. He is a simple stuntman. And it sounds like I'm ripping him. He has gotten to where he is because of his crazy athleticism. I am a fan of Ricochet. My problem, though, is he's not acting like a pro wrestler. A true pro wrestler. He's in there trying to be Houdini. He's trying to be a stuntman. I don't need that. Have him sell a little more. And the crazy crap that he does, he should be, you know, halfway to a stretcher. And it's just kind of like he shoves it off. He'll sell it or register it for a few seconds and then, oh, he forgot. Okay, well, you know, someone just elbowed me in the face or, you know, did this big power move and I'm going to pop up like, you know, nothing happened. It just, nah, all right. Well, I'm going to move on here. The other thing I wanted to talk about that I teased in the open a little bit was AJ Styles and Braun Strowman to close out the show for the United States Championship. And Braun Strowman is suddenly becoming the man of the hour in terms of who WWE is or Vince McMahon is deciding to get behind. And I was a little bit fearful they would put the belt on Strowman. But in doing that, I think they would have done themselves a big disservice to getting Braun over. Because then I think it would be very resentful to have Braun Strowman suddenly pop in the picture, become tag team champion, and then also win the United States Championship and then have a Universal Championship also in that mix. It would just create a lot of resentment and confusion and storylines, to be honest with you. And have, what, Braun do triple duty? You can't do that, right? So, but it didn't have me believing for a few moments after Braun Strowman started to get the advantage on the entire OC that, oh my God, this could be it. And then we get a homage to the late, great, one of my favorites of all time, Eddie Guerrero, and AJ pulled one on Strowman. And I don't think that, to be honest with you, Eddie Guerrero did it in a way that was so charming that it was endearing. It was entertaining, and it's still hilarious to see. But I know traditionally that move of having the referee believe that his opponent was the one to hit him with a chair when in fact it was the other way around, and then having the referee disqualify that person just because they're holding a chair is supposed to be a heel heat spot, and I get that, and typically it is until Eddie Guerrero stepped into the picture. We had AJ Styles do this, and this is the first time I can remember since Eddie Guerrero that somebody has used this move. And it's, again, it's so endearing, it's hard for me to hate it. And AJ Styles is, I think, doing a good job as a heel, but when I see that move, it just makes me think of Eddie Guerrero. And if you haven't seen him do that, I don't know, you know, if you have or haven't, but you need to. Even in his final match with Mr. Kennedy, if you guys remember that, he had that exact same move that he did to gain an advantage on Mr. Kennedy. So anyway, but I like the move. I'm fine with Braun Strowman not winning. I don't think he needs to win anything else right now. And again, I'm a little bit taken back as to how quickly they are going to Braun Strowman in a Universal Championship match with Seth Rollins, who I don't think will end up winning because Seth just got it back from Brock. So when you just get it back, and it's a big, big statement win. Oh, I said your word of the week, WWE statement. You need to have that belt stick and stay for a while, for a meaningful run. So I don't think that Braun, even though he is in this match for the championship, Universal Championship, it's not going to be, I believe, a victorious night for Braun Strowman. And so I just don't think so. I feel like that would be a mistake. While I do believe Braun does deserve and should get a run with that top belt at some point, it's just not right now. I would go a couple of more months, and I thought this build would go a couple of more months with him teasing it, but I guess Braun Strowman is just standing there like a kid in, you know, in a candy store and staring at the belt as if it's, I don't know, the hot girl with, you know, her shirt cut down low. It's like the teenager in middle school staring at the cute girl blatantly. I mean, just with his eyes wide open and his mouth open and drool coming out. I don't know. And furthermore, I didn't know that, you know, champions could just decide who their next opponent is. Is there no process? Is there no consulting with management? I guess not. I mean, there's no Raw general manager per se, other than the defunct or default Stephanie McMahon, who I am so glad I do not need to see on a weekly basis. But it's just kind of interesting to me that the champions can just go, yeah, you. Well, wait a minute. What about everybody else? Just because you're standing here, you get the match? The premise and the pre-qualifications for anybody getting a championship match, whether it's Universal Championship, Women's Championship, Bayley did it with Ember Moon last month. Why does the champion get to choose who their opponent is? Wouldn't you want it to be a fair and competitive process? Instead of just hand-selecting that person? And you could say, well, why would Seth Rollins ever want to go against Braun Strowman? That's putting his title in massive jeopardy. He's a fighting champion. Yeah, you could say that he's gutsy for doing it, and that's Michael Cole's word of the week for every single babyface win ever. It's gutsy. I don't know why, but so, yeah, you could say that, but at the same time, you're doing a disservice to everybody else that, hey, what about me? Just because you're tag team champions with him, why does that automatically qualify him to be in the Universal Championship picture? Just because he's been staring at it for several weeks? I'm not following that. But I'm looking forward to the match. I think it'll be good. Seth Rollins will make it good. As limited as Braun can be at times in the ring, Seth Rollins, I think, will pick up the slack and put on a very good match. I have some predictions. Here's an early little prediction, is that Brock Lesnar interferes in this match and F5s both guys to a no contest. And maybe we get a triple threat at, I don't know, Survivor Series or something with Braun and Brock and Seth. And I think maybe that's where they're going with this. I could see Brock Lesnar's music hitting. Both get F5 so that nobody has to take a clean loss. And you get a Brock Lesnar interference and his smile and his bounce. And, you know, the show goes off the air with Brock smiling. And you know, that's how I think it goes down. I really believe that, because Brock Lesnar was not awarded a rematch, which would piss him off. And there's some unfinished business with Braun and Brock. So I think that's how it goes down. I really think that. All right, moving down the list here, the tag team turmoil, very good tournament. It's the gauntlet, really. And WWE says the first time ever. Boy, they love first time evers, don't they? The first ever eight team turmoil, tag team turmoil match. True. Fine. Okay. Whatever. So we get the newest formed team of Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler back into the fold here, winning the thing and going and getting an opportunity to face Seth and Braun at Clash of Champions. So I'm fine with this. I just don't know how these two came about. And maybe we'll get a quick explanation. But what did they just bump into each other and go, hey, there's a tag team turmoil thing out there. We're not doing anything. I've been speared 8 times by Goldberg. And, I've been speared 16 times by Roman Reigns. I want to just, become relevant. What are you doing tonight? Well, I don't know. I haven't been on TV in, 8 weeks. So maybe that's how the whole conversation went, and we had Dolph and we had Bobby backstage going, yeah, we're underappreciated. Let's become a team. I don't know. Something. Give me something. And maybe I'm just thinking too much about story, but I don't know how these two ended up joining forces. I'm fine with it. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a good tag team. I think that they complement each other well. I just need a mission, a purpose, and how they got together. Basics. Basic of storytelling. And they're also the number one contenders for the Raw Tag Team Championships. Wouldn't I want to learn a little bit about how this tag team formed? Like 5 minutes before the match started? Which is probably how it happened? Just something. Something. It's basic storytelling sometimes that's missing. But again, they may tell us. So I may be complaining, or not complaining, critiquing for no reason. So, but again, I'm fine with it. I think that should be a very entertaining match too. I'm not so confident that Braun and Seth don't drop the belts here. I would not be surprised if they do. I would actually be fine if they drop the belts at Clash of Champions. You can't have Seth doing double duty forever. And we saw that with Becky Lynch. It just doesn't work out for a lot of storylines. You're also suffocating the championship by having it around the waist of one individual. And at the same time, you're also overexposing that individual who has to be involved in two different storylines. So I'm fine with Braun and Seth dropping the belts here. Totally fine with it. And maybe it's a miscommunication that causes the loss, or somebody losing their cool from a missed spot, or somebody accidentally hitting somebody and the other person walks out. But something's going to happen here that causes Braun and Seth to have tension, which Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler, I'm not used to saying those two names back to back, and my God, I don't know, ever, but something will cause them to take advantage, and you'll have new Raw Tag Team Champions. I really believe that, and I know I'm giving you guys a little bit of a prediction show a few weeks early, but sometimes you can see things coming a mile away, and I think this is a mile away, and I'm fine with it. I think it's the right decision. I really do. I think it's the right decision to have the belts, the Raw Tag Team belts, put on the waist of another team other than Braun and Seth, that I think is nothing more than a kind of a hotshot team to add some instant credibility to the belts, which is totally fine. Totally understand why they're doing it, but I just don't think that it's a long-term solution, and that's okay. That there really is okay. We also got Sasha Banks. Speaking of Sasha Banks, in a match with Natalya. And while this could have been a pay-per-view match, Becky Lynch is clearly the next real opponent for Sasha. So Sasha had to go over here if she's going to be making her way up to Becky. And having her beat Natalya cleanly, decisively with her submission move, the bank statement. And also doing something a little extra evil, and using Natalya's own arm to garner leverage and apply the hold even tighter, and having Natalya make or take the loss and tap out, and then having Sasha go back after the match and do it again, and putting Natalya in more pain. I love that. That's great. Her smiling while she does it was a nice little thing. Another nice little thing about this match was Natalya having her elbow taped up, so it's not just as if her arm magically got better. Attention to detail. Little things that add up to big things, and these are just a couple of examples, and I enjoyed it. I think Sasha Banks puts her body on the line to the nth degree every single time she competes. That overhead suplex that she did and took from Natalya was just brutal and well done. And Sasha, you can't take anything away from Sasha. You just can't, even as a heel, whatever character. She just brings it all every single time. And I'm glad to see her back in the right role, comfortable. It's like she didn't miss a beat, and I'm all for this. And, you know, while I did believe that Becky was going to come out and try to save Natalya after the win, and she just decided to beat her on her again, I'm fine with Becky not coming out, because it would have been the predictable thing to do, and it gives us time to rest from Becky. I think we all need a bit of a break from Becky Lynch. I know she's the Raw Women's Champion. I'm ready for a break from Becky. We've had our run. It's been fun. But all good things must come to an end. And I'm, you know, while I would turn Becky heel soon, more importantly, I would have her drop the belt soon. And Sasha Banks is the perfect candidate for Becky. I can't think of a more credible and more up-and-coming star right now than Sasha Banks. And no, Sasha Banks isn't new, but Sasha Banks has reinvented herself. She has found herself, if you will. I know it's a bit cliche, but right now Sasha Banks, I think, would make a great women's champion, and it's time for a heel champion. I'm ready for the babyfaces to drop their belts. I really am. I am so ready, most of all, Kofi Kingston. I need Kofi to drop that like yesterday. And while I think he will be the one to hang on to his belt the longest, the three champions that came out of Mania are still champions. And it's now running into September. I know you need a long-standing championship run to make the WrestleMania decisions and results stick and matter. And that's fine. I understand it. But I think it's time that we go back into chase mode for babyfaces. And Kofi needs to start immediately. I mean, I don't care if he comes out and relinquishes the belt on Tuesday night, right? I mean, I really don't. Right now, actually. I mean, right now, SmackDown Live is being taped, or airing, rather. I don't care. Kofi needs to drop it for reasons that are in my previous shows. I need it. And then Becky would be next, and then Seth would be third, because we've seen Seth lose it and regain it. So I'm ready for chase mode. I really am. All right, we got Cedric Alexander defeating Cesaro. Again, what did you expect from this match, right? I mean, you knew it was just going to be a smooth, well-designed match, and that's exactly what it was Cedric Alexander getting the win as Cesaro continues his downward spiral with Drew McIntyre. And I guess they're just kind of holding hands into this spiral of the abyss. That seems to be where they're going. We also got footage from Fox Sports Founders Day with Elias and Drake Maverick. And while Drake and Elias are arguing, R-Truth runs up behind Elias and pins him for the three count to win the title. Truth then fights off Drake and throws him into a tub of water. And Truth gets pinned by Rob Stone, a Fox Sports host, inside the studio. And Elias rolls up Rob from behind for the three count to win his title back. So the nonsense continues. And apparently you can have non-performers win the belt. Boy, does that add credibility or what? I mean, they're just going wackadoo with this belt now. But I don't know. I guess there's good and bad to that. I'm all for making a realistic product and getting emotionally invested, but I also understand times for a time to breathe and time to just relax and take this program for what it is and this product for what it is. And then there's times that it just takes it too far. So one last thing that I did want to talk about too was The Miz and Baron Corbin. And Baron Corbin is back. He's got a new, slightly new look with his wife beater, black wife beater, instead of his dress shirt, I guess. And Baron Corbin beats The Miz. Again, with no nonsense. I like how they're not doing crazy finishes for the King of the Ring tournament. They're making it straight up right now. I like that. He beat The Miz with End of Days. Clean. And I loved it. And Baron Corbin, I don't dislike Baron Corbin. I'm glad he went away for a while. I said he needed to go away, and now he's back. And now that he's back, I actually don't have that feeling that I did when he was there and there and there. And he gets fired as GM, and we think he's going to go away, and then he's there, and he's there, and he's there. And he still feels like the GM, even though he's not anymore, and he's still there, and he's there. And he loses to Seth three times in a row, and he finally went away. And perfect time for him to go away. We needed time to breathe and get a break from Corbin, and we did. And now Corbin's back, and he beat The Miz, and I think he's going to go deep into this tournament, if not win the whole thing. I would be fine with it. I don't know what this would do for Corbin's career, but I'm fine with it. I think that, you know, you can make a case for other stars, even Cedric Alexander winning King of the Ring. But at the same time, this is a tournament that is designed for a heel to win. It just is, because it's all bragging rights. There's nothing of substance or material that is on the line here. Nothing. Nothing. You get nothing other than just saying, yeah, I win, and y'all are the peasants, right? I mean, y'all are the common people, and I'm the king. It's like they get to play pretend. You know, it's like, hey, guys, we're going to do a little community theater here. Everybody come on over, and who wants to wear that the cape and the scepter? And who wants to wear the crown and the cape and the scepter? Anybody? You know, you guys can pretend. We'll play pretend. I mean, what is it going to really do? Nothing. Nothing. I mean, it's silliness, but that's why it's designed for a heel, because they can brag about it to the nth degree, and they can be obnoxious, and you can want to see somebody come along and beat the hell out of them and take them off their perch. And that's, I think, why a heel is going to win this. So I'm totally fine with this, and I think that I think it will be heel. And if it's Baron Corbin, I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't. I know that Baron Corbin is the least liked guy on the roster, and all that's fine. And that's fine, and I think he should be. But I think he does a good job. He cuts good promos. I believe that Baron Corbin would be a fine King of the Ring. All right. Oh, and Bayley versus Nikki Cross in a non-title match. Nikki shoved Bayley right off the opening bell. The whole thing ended with Bayley climbing the turnbuckle and follows up with a flying elbow drop on Nikki for the three count. So apparently Bayley is doing the insane elbow from Kairi Sane. I don't know. I didn't know you could win with signature moves. I'm fine with it. But the problem is that there is a star on the roster that also uses that same exact move with Kairi Sane, the Asian Pirate. Somebody explain this to me. Look, I'm a fan of Kairi Sane. And to me, she's like a cuter Asuka, if you're going to ask me. And I don't know. It's like she got the wrestling part down. The WWE trainer said, look, you're good. You're sound. You've got all the fundamentals down. You know how to, call a match. You can hold up your end. You know in-ring psychology. You're safe. And then we're like, oh, yeah, crap. Kairi, you need a gimmick. You need something. Think of something wacky. Just something crazy. Something very PG and funny. What would be hilarious? What has nobody seen? And she's like, I could be a clown. Or I could be maybe a cartoon, or I could be a pirate. Has anybody ever done an Asian pirate before? That'd be cool. Let me do an Asian pirate. That's how I feel like it was chosen. Something that was just, she was told she had to do something that would be marketable and be flashy and be interesting, and no one's ever done. And she's like, I got it. I'll be a pirate, an Asian pirate, or a Japanese pirate, whatever. I'll be an Oriental pirate. How about that? Okay, let me be PC. And that's how I feel like she came up with that gimmick. It makes no sense. I don't hate it. I just don't understand it. It's a clash of objectives, if you ask me. There's nothing she does to integrate that gimmick in anything she does, says, or other than her entrance. That's it. And she's Paul Burchill. It's like she's the offspring of Paul Burchill. If you guys remember him. He was very briefly on SmackDown Live and SmackDown at the time, not SmackDown Live, and would come in on a swinging rope as if he's on a pirate ship. It's just a little hokey, I guess, for me. So I don't understand this. I'm not understanding Kairi Sane's pirate gimmick. I know I did not expect to talk about this tonight, but somebody explain it to me. Maybe I'm just not getting it. Maybe it was selected and done for a different reason. But that's how I feel like it was done, in some promo class backstage one day, and they just came up with a list of ideas on paper, and then we're just like, let's go with the pirate. That sounds wacky and cool and marketable, and no one's ever done it. It's silly. That's what it looks silly. And that's me being very PG Okay. But overall, guys, I just went on a positive note. I did enjoy Raw. Again, a solid Raw from New Orleans, Louisiana. A very noteworthy Raw, one that progressed storylines, one that made sense, and one that didn't drag. All plus, plus, plus. Was it, again, blow away? No, but I'd give it a B. Just good. A good show. A good show that was just a good wrestling show, and I could absolutely sign up for that any day of the week when it comes to Monday Night Raw, especially over the last few years. So, all right, guys. Well, that's all for today. I just want to thank you guys for listening as we approach the hour mark here. It's been a pleasure. Don't forget, tomorrow I'll be back with my new host of the AEW podcast, Zach Perez, who's going to be starting his weekly shows very, very soon as we get a lot of the production underway and all the logistics out of the way. He'll be joining the show very soon. He'll be joining me again tomorrow as I introduce you to him and we get acquainted. And also, you guys get to hear what he sounds like and all that kind of stuff. I think you'll enjoy. And also, I will be introducing to you guys, or reintroducing, James Ludeman, who will be doing our weekly NXT podcast. So, again, I will not be involved in these shows. This is totally up to them to produce and talk about however they want. And that's what I think is going to be great about it. So that'll be starting very soon as this show goes to 6 days a week. I'll be on 4 out of the 6, but so whether you love me or hate me, I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's the schedule as we move into a crazy, crazy fall for professional wrestling as the Wednesday night wars heat up. So, alrighty, well, guys, check out the website, WWEPodcast.com. Go to patreon.com/WWEPodcast if you want an ad-free experience. Or check me out on Instagram. Yes, I'm there at WWEPodcast. And on Facebook, I have a Facebook page for WWE Podcast as well. So I would check me out there. I mean, those links too are on the website. When you click and look at the social media followings for each, it's there. So also on Twitter. That's the last thing I'll say, at the WWE Podcast. So, all right, well, guys, that's all I got for you today. Thanks so much for listening. I'll talk to you next time.